This morning, the Word of God comes to us from the prophet Ezekiel. I will be reading chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. You may be seated.
What a great day to celebrate the Reformation, to celebrate the church around the world. It's not only exciting for us on this Reformation Sunday each year to talk about and celebrate the movement of Reformation and the tradition of our church, the Presbyterian tradition, but to celebrate what God is doing everywhere. And to that end, I want to let you know that there is another pastor to appreciate in the house this morning, all the way from Athens, Greece, is our ministry partner, Argyris Petrou, with the Greek Bible Institute and Damaris House. So let's welcome Argyris this morning. We are at the midpoint of our sermon series on the Good Presbyterian Shepherd. And as we make our way to the role of elder in the church and why this is such an important element in Presbyterian church government in particular, I want to remind us a little bit about what Pastor Nathan was preaching on from this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 34, last Sunday. He did a great job taking us through the pretty much the first two-thirds of this amazing chapter, where Ezekiel, God, through Ezekiel, the prophet, rails against the shepherds, the kings of Israel, who have not only led the people astray, but have betrayed them, abused them, and harmed them. As we have talked about over the last couple of weeks, the shepherding metaphor is prevalent in the Bible. And although it is not unique in the writings of the ancient Near East, it is especially strong in the scriptures to describe those who have been given responsibility to lead God's covenant people. The image of the shepherd leader is powerful because of the work of the actual shepherds at that time. It was a powerful image. On the one hand, the work of the shepherd was considered hard and dirty and undesirable. And on the other hand, the importance of the work of the shepherd was undisputed. Shepherds were responsible for the very livelihoods of so many people who were a part of the sheep or shepherding industry, if you want to call it that. And that industry touched just about everyone. In order to be effective, shepherds needed to be strong, they needed to be tough. But they also had to be resourceful and tender, committed to the care of the flock. And so the metaphor of the shepherd in the Bible, the shepherd leader, included both authority and service, a combination that is difficult to find, something we have no problem understanding today. It's hard. So much so that most of us, I presume, were able to relate to Ezekiel 34 last week and this dual oracle that we find in this chapter. The majority of the text, and the part that Pastor Nathan covered last Sunday, was the judgment of God upon the shepherds, the bad shepherds. The second part points to the salvation of the sheep. And that's what makes this a dual oracle. There is both judgment and salvation here. And the salvation part begins where we left off, picking it up now at verse 23. We're going to begin this morning and then move on to a very well-known chapter, John 10. Chris has already read the first two of the final nine verses of Ezekiel 34, so let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us today from His Word. God of covenant history, we thank You for Your Word, the Bible. Through it, we learn from You that You love Your people dearly. We also learn that we are Your people, the sheep of Your pasture. And through godly leaders, You desire that we be shepherded well by those that You have called to lead us and tenderly care for us. The leaders, the elders You've called to be under shepherds to this congregation desire to be and become that kind of leader. Not just people of authority, but of tenderness and care. And so let Your Word shape our identity today, and by Your Spirit help us to know our role in Your ongoing work in the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As churched people, we do not need to be told that a good shepherd faithfully feeds his sheep. And even the youngest among us this morning can tell us who our good shepherd is. But as we were reminded last week, many, if not most of us, have also experienced the consequences of unfaithful or ineffective shepherds in our lives. And unfortunately, not for you, you are here this morning, either in person or online. Many who profess to be Christians have abandoned the church, the corporate church, because they would say of either hypocrisy or the failure of the leadership of their church in some way. Using Ezekiel's language, the reason many sheep are now scattered and wounded is because of abuse by other sheep in the flock or because of inadequate or inappropriate behavior of those who were designated as shepherds. In March of last year, 2021, the Barna Group found that for the first time ever, less than half of all Americans go to church. We're now a nation of mostly unchurched people. And among that group of unchurched, 89% of them used to go to church and still describe themselves as being very spiritual. Most of them saying that they had made some sort of commitment to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Probably still calling themselves Christians, yet not connected, not attending, not a part of a local church. Now, we can argue this and that about statistics and who really is a Christian, but the bottom line is something I think we all know is true. More than ever before, the number of people who claim to be Christians but who have largely abandoned the church is growing significantly. We've seen in Psalm 23 and other passages that God Himself has declared that He is the shepherd of His sheep. But we've also seen in Ezekiel 34 and elsewhere that this is not something new. In most other parts of the Western world, once the lifeblood of Christianity, the heart of the Reformation, the church is dying. And what this means is that there are a whole lot of sheep wandering around without a shepherd. They often say, well, I don't need an earthly shepherd. Maybe they don't say it in those words, but I don't need an earthly shepherd. I don't need the church. I have Jesus. Is that a biblical response? We've touched on that, and we're going to explore it more in the weeks to come. But when we arrive at verse 23 of our opening chapter for today in Ezekiel 34, we find God's solution to the problem of bad shepherding. He does not abandon the idea of shepherds at all, however. He points Judah on the verge of their own exile to a messianic shepherd that is to come, and he uses such obvious covenantal language that what our covenants class on Wednesday nights knows very well now is explicit here, what we know. God is not abandoning his original plan to redeem the world in redemptive history as we see in Scripture. He's expanding his people's vision of this covenant, and he's reminding them of what he has promised. While there remains punishment for God's people when they fail to live up to their covenant obligations, he, God himself, will faithfully fulfill both his and our end of the agreement. God will not abandon his use of shepherds to lead his people. He will replace bad shepherds with good ones, starting with one in particular. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Before we continue on, Ezekiel is writing hundreds of years after King David, so the people receiving this oracle know that it is not that David of whom God speaks, but a reiteration of the promise of the Davidic covenant found in 2 Samuel 7, that God would bring an offspring of David who will not only rule God's people in righteousness, but do so forever. And he will be a good and a faithful shepherd of God's people. As we continue to the end of the chapter, we also find that this David will bring a covenant of peace to his flock. Listen to the blessings of this covenant: safety, provision, fruitfulness, and of course, peace. Listen to it, picking it up now at verse 25. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Under this new covenant, this covenant of peace, did you hear? Hear it there in that last verse, verse 31, there will be harmony. Harmony between God and his people because of the relationship between them, his flock and their perfect shepherd. There is that twofold relationship between the shepherd and us, the sheep. There is toughness and there is tenderness. The toughness refers to the authority that the shepherd has over the sheep, and that includes the shepherd's responsibility to protect the sheep from outside threats as well as from themselves. And the tenderness refers not only to the manner in which that authority is wielded, but the care and provision of the shepherd to the sheep. Shepherds feed their sheep. They nurture them, love them. And now let me tell you what this covenant of peace Ezekiel is talking about, how it was meant for the Israelites of his day as well as for us. Under the leadership of the then coming new David, the good shepherd that for them was still coming but for us has already come, there is peace knowing that between now and whenever judgment comes, in the end of this world as we know it, we can live in peace no matter what is happening in us and in the world around us. I mean, there is war in Europe for the first time in 70 plus years. Scientists are experimenting with new viruses. There's an election looming. Inflation is high. We now live in a time when violence is considered by some a legitimate response to differences of opinion. There's a lot to be concerned about. And yet, because this new David, this perfect shepherd, has come, peace is already present in the hearts of those who are in him. Christian, peace is a present reality in your life, in Christ. There is a sense here at the end of Ezekiel 34, however, that we only experience this peace, the blessing of this new covenant peace, right now in a partial way. And that's because our lives are still in the midst of an ongoing struggle with sin. Obviously. We continue to live in a fallen world. We do not always experience justice. Evil people still prosper. Often this is a result of our own disobedience and poor choices, but sometimes it's not. No matter the trial we are experiencing, however, peace and joy is ours because we have a good shepherd who through his life, death, burial, and resurrection leads us by the word of God. Jeremiah, prophesying already from exile, reaffirms this in chapter 23 of his book. Beginning at verse 5, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." Next Sunday, we're going to move from the perfect shepherd to the calling of the under-shepherd. But before we get there, let's make clear what we all know to be true. That this good shepherd, this new David of whom Ezekiel and Jeremiah both speak, is none other than Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we acknowledged that human shepherds of God's sheep, both past and present, fall short. We fall short. Your shepherds, and this includes me, your teaching elder, and the other ruling elders here at Westkirk, current and in the past, have often fallen short. We have sometimes been intimidated. We have been at times slow to call out those fellow sheep who cause conflict. We have failed at times to properly care for the sheep who in a weaker position or a weaker season of life have needed help. I mean, helping weak sheep is hard work, and it takes a lot of time. And we're guilty. Caring for sickly sheep to help it become healthy is not a fast process. Your shepherds are busy, too, with family and work and hobbies and every other thing. We and other shepherds in your lives, perhaps in previous churches, have not been consistent and have not balanced the authority and the tenderness that are called of shepherds in leading well. And unfortunately, many of us have been influenced by the church growth movement to the extent that we've bought into the false idea that elders, that shepherds, are really just managers of this sheeping enterprise, the church. And as long as the flock is growing, that's all that matters. So if the church is growing, it's all good. But we do not wish to merely be decision makers, but sheep lovers. We want to love you. Hear the familiar words of the one who comes and claims to be the good shepherd of Ezekiel 34. From John chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. I want to focus on verses 14 and 15 there. We've preached through the I am statements, the claims of Jesus in the Gospel of John, fairly recently, but I want to focus on verses 14 and 15 because these contain two examples of what our perfect good shepherd does for the sheep, and they are the blueprint for what later we will find is the key to what his under shepherds have been called to do in the church today. First, and did you hear what he is saying? Jesus takes the name of God, I am, for himself. As well as identifying as the good shepherd in the long history of this biblical shepherding metaphor of authoritative and tender leadership. And he says, I know my own. Jesus knows you. Elise is just too cute. Thank you, Oma. Jesus knows you. That is not only why he is your shepherd, but it attests to his divine person. And it speaks to the intimacy of our relationship with Him. Is there any intimacy in your relationship with Christ? If you don't think so, you are either not in Christ or you are sadly mistaken, because if you are in Christ, you are known. You are known by your good shepherd. And your elders here at Westkirk, not just me, are committed to know you. You're going to be hearing from your elder if you haven't already. They want to know you. They will not know you perfectly, ever. And they will not only know you, do their best to know you, but they will only know you to the extent that you allow yourself to be known. But what we have come to realize is that if we as your elders are going to care for you, it's much better to know you first than to try to get to know you when life is difficult. So we're trying to be proactive and get to know you better. Your session is committed to this, so please allow your elders to get to know you. Even so, no elder, past or present, will ever know you as Jesus knows you. And second, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I know my sheep, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, there really hasn't been anything revolutionary in this sermon. We know that Jesus died on the cross for us. We know that He took our place there in death, lovingly, willingly to pay the price for our sin for us as our substitute, to take our place in death. We know this. But as we explore the role of elder as the under-shepherd of Christ's sheep, we come to realize that the elders are called to this same kind of sacrificial service to you. And they know it. I can keep saying that the calling of an elder is a high calling, but you're not going to realize this until we consistently demonstrate our willingness to sacrifice ourselves for you, to celebrate your family joys, your weddings, the birth of your children, their graduations, and other milestones, but also to comfort you when you are sick, to be with you, to encourage you, to spiritual growth, warn you against the dangers of your personal manner of life, keep false teaching out of your church. Be there when you die. And we get this. I get this. I cannot be the only shepherd of this flock. I was wrong. To pastor this congregation as if I had to be there for all of you all the time. As if I was the only one. All that did was burn me out and give you disappointment when I didn't make it. And I didn't live up to the expectations. And that is not the biblical way. And so let me add that we've now announced that we're going to be making or taking nominees for new elders all this next month of November. And then we're going to be training and vetting the candidates all next year. No, they will not be on the ballot in January. Why? Because we cannot make mistakes on this. You deserve to have shepherds that will sacrificially lead you and love you. And not everyone has the calling and the ability and the desire or the time to do it. It's a huge commitment, but we need more elders because we're a growing congregation. And the number of sheep in the individual folds of each elder shepherd is too high for us to do it well. So we need more elders. I need you to pray about that and prayerfully consider who among you is this kind of person who is already demonstrating elder quality in the life of this congregation. Good shepherds know their flock by name. You know their strengths and weaknesses, joys and sorrows. Your elders want to be Christ-like shepherds to you. Jesus is the supreme and perfect model of what it looks like to shepherd the flock. The elders of Westkirk Presbyterian Church will never get to perfection, but we're trying to get better. Jesus picked 12. He lived with them. He ate with them. He worked with them. He laughed with them, and he cried with them. He was their pastor. And your elders here at Westkirk desire to be that for you as best they can. Let's look to the Good Shepherd and thank him for his sacrifice for the sheep. God, we love you. We know that you've given us in your word the way of salvation, and in it you've also given us good instruction on how in Christ we live, including living corporately together in your church. Help us to know that despite the ways that we fail one another, you are our good shepherd, especially that you know us intimately as well as sacrificially. Help our elders as they seek to fill this high calling of being human shepherds placed in our lives from you. May we see the continuity of what you've done in the past with what you are doing in us now and what we can anticipate in the future. You are our covenant God, and we are forever grateful for the grace that you have given us in Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
We respond to the hearing of God's word by singing number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Thank you.
God receive this benediction from Hebrews chapter 13, these familiar words of verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.